On January 8th, I drove up to Silver Bay to the house of Susie and Bill Nelson. They were nice enough to email me about a couple of rare birds that have been visiting their feeding station. For a while, they had two varied thrushes, a male and a female, and the male has been sticking around. And then on January 6th, a gray catbird also showed up. I'm testing out a new camera and digiscoping adapter, and I simply couldn't resist. So I drove up after lunch. The deep blue sky was dotted here and there with puffy but small clouds, and it was simply a splendid day for a drive. But I should have set out earlier. It turns out that both birds had been hanging around while the sun was still high at 1 o'clock. The sun was already casting long shadows when I got there around 2:15, and the birds didn't show up until about 3 when the sun was starting to get low. The thrush came out into the open but was skittish and hard to keep my spotting scope on. I still got a fairly decent photo, which I posted on my blog. The catbird acted the way catbirds always do, skulky and shy. I got a photo of it hiding behind a bunch of branches, and though it's a mediocre photo, I'm pleased that the bird is at least in focus. Susie and Bill also had a couple of white-throated sparrows, birds that are supposed to be well south of here by now. All three species are rare but regular in Minnesota in winter. Varied thrushes seem to be appearing more often than they did 10 or 20 years ago, though that may be partly or even entirely a perception because more people are accurately identifying and reporting the birds they see. Varied thrushes are a bird of the far west, but for some reason some of them end up in the east every year. Catbirds winter in the extreme southern United States, the Caribbean islands, and eastern Mexico and Central America. I'm far more likely to spot one when I go to Costa Rica in 2 weeks than I was to have seen this one in northern Minnesota. Although catbirds are common up here in summer, this one was actually a far rarer January bird than the varied thrush was. Both birds are feeding on suet and maybe some fallen seeds. At some feeders, both species have learned to feed on mealworms, but during cold weather, the mealworms freeze as soon as they're put out. Often birds won't even notice them to taste them unless they're moving. White-throated sparrows appear virtually every year on the Duluth Christmas Bird Count, and their normal winter range includes the southern half of Wisconsin and southeastern Minnesota, but in Duluth and parts north, they're still unexpected and unusual, and by January, those few hangers-on have usually disappeared. It was wonderful to see all these birds, but unsettling when I think how many unusual birds are about this winter. We have record numbers of ducks still on the lake. When I drove to Park Point on Friday, I had to wait for the aerial lift bridge because boats were still going in and out of the harbor. And on Monday, after I got home, Don Keenholz reported a yellow-rumped warbler at Bayfront Park. Again, it's not exactly unheard of to find a yellow rump in the upper Midwest in winter, but so many of these unusual sightings in a year without snow add up to some pretty serious implications with regard to effects climate change is having on birds. Scary, for sure, but along with doing our best to conserve energy and limit carbon dioxide emissions, we might as well document the biological changes and admire the individual birds whose unusual winter patterns may turn out to have the genetic qualities that will enable their species to survive in a changing world. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.